Hi, Daniel.
Hello.
All right, we are good to go.
All right, we're rolling.
All right, let's start with your year of graduation, including if you finished your coursework spring, summer, fall, and your major or majors.
I graduated in May of 2015 from the EPD program. Major EPD, minor with the acoustics and electronics. I don't know if that's the same, if they're doing, I'm sure the EPD program is still around now, right?
Oh yeah, it is.
Do they still have a minor in electronics and acoustics?
I think so. I know that the minors got reshuffled a lot. I know there is an acoustics minor, so it might be the same thing, or it may have tweaked slightly.
Right. So. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And those, the minor coupled with EPD really well, because after I graduated, I had the ability to like set up an entire studio by myself and treat the room with from the information that I got from those courses, the ability to treat my room. It was you know a really just basic one bedroom apartment room, but I was able to build acoustic panels and get a pretty damn good, you know, studio sound while being able to, you know, produce electronic music.
Oh, that's fantastic. Great. Yeah. And what was your principal instrument?
Originally guitar. So I started as a guitar principal, but the more time that I spent there and the more I interacted with my the people who were on my floor, I was... I don't know if it was intentional by the people who set up the dorm setup, but... I was surrounded by all these guys who were really into like LA electronic music, and they totally indoctrinated me and got me into that scene. And I sort of slowly moved over a few years from being very into like singer songwriter guitar stuff into electronic EDM and hip hop and trip hop and sort of psychedelic hip hop and that sort of vibe.
I know that like electronic instruments became a possible principal instrument some number of years ago. I want to say 5 or 6 years ago, but I could be off on that.
I think they did add that either one of the later years that I was there,
okay,
or just after I was there, using like a MIDI, you know, a MIDI pad, I think became
right.
A principal instrument, I think, but I haven't been there in so long. I wouldn't really be a good source for that.
Sure. Okay, we will get to your history later, but for now, let's talk about your current job. Where do you work? What do you do?
I am a contract web and software developer. So it's between freelance with specific clients directly, or a company will contract with me. They'll be like, hey, we want to either improve so build a new one or improve a certain web application. I have done some stuff where I guess you could say a minor connection with that would be like I've had to do audio setups within a web application. I definitely use some stuff that I learned in the EPD program in that. But it's not just like the exact stuff that I learned in the EPD program. It's that the sort of course that I took that were it. You go, it's you're going lily
pad. By the way, you're giving us a preview of questions I'll be asking later, which is cool, but like, oh, we'll end up covering the same thing.
Sure. I'm sorry. Did I overstep? What was the original question?
Oh, just tell us about your job. You know, where do you work? So it sounds like you work for a bunch of different employers.
Right. And yeah. So there will be local companies that are like, hey, we want our website revamped. We want, you know, they might have built their website with some company that they haven't revamped it since like, you know, 10 years ago. And they're like, we want this to be better, or this isn't working, or something might even be broken. There was a running shoe company that I worked with where their website was like going to a spam site. And they were like, this is not okay. So that's sort of the recent things that I've been working on. But the way I got there...
We'll get to your history later. I was going to say, though, so you are totally independent. Like, you're not working through an agency, right, that farms you out. Like, places reach out to you directly?
Correct. I was working with a blockchain company recently. There was a recruiter. I have a recruiter that basically connects me. The recruiter works for an agency, and I work with this recruiter, and he basically assigns me to different companies that need, you know, something revamped or fixed or something from scratch.
And can I ask, so I'm guessing it's contract, like you pay double FICA, you don't get vacation days, but the hourly's good.
Correct. Yeah, it's between like 30 and 50 an hour, depending on the gig.
Okay. All right. Cool. And I was gonna ask. So, when you do a contract for these other companies, it is a per hour pay structure, as opposed to, you know, I will do this project and you pay me $2,000 pay structure.
Right. Right. It's well. So how I do it is I use an app called Harvest. And you flick it on, it's like a light switch, and then with each session, basically, so when you turn it on, you create a session, you put in the details of, like, and when you turn it off, you say, all right, what did I do today? Or you can do it while you're working. You can, you know, add notes of, and then at the end of the month, it creates an invoice of, like, hey, I worked, 6.2 hours today, or 8.35 hours today, and this is what I did during that. So that's how I basically track it. And it does get a little, it is tough sometimes when you're working freelance in contract, because they're like, well, what exactly did you do today? And like, well, I use this app. And that makes it pretty clear. And every client that I've worked with, I show them that, like, you know, the invoice, and they're always happy with it. They're like, okay, you know, this equates to the amount of time that you worked on this project.
But that is nice as a way that, you know, they don't have to completely just trust you, trust that you didn't just, you know, do the thing in 30 minutes and then pad out your hours.
Right. Yeah. It's just, and then it also has a cool feature in it where, like, if you step away, if you have to go to use the restroom or something or go make lunch, it will detect if you haven't, you know, interacted with your computer in that time. And it says, like, hey, do you want to delete this time? It's like, yeah, I do, because I went to lunch. You don't have to be like, real, you know, it does that automatically. It's pretty cool.
Oh, that is nice. So I assume all your work is remote work?
Correct. Yeah.
Cool.
I do have some clients in town, but for the most part, yeah, it's remote work.
Right. Where do you live these days, roughly?
I am in Southern Oregon. It's Medford, Oregon. It's the third largest city behind. So you have Portland, then Eugene, and then Medford is the third largest city in Oregon.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Very cool. And let's see. About how many hours a week do you work?
It varies. I'm kind of a night owl. And that's why I love doing freelance and contract stuff, because it's not like, you know, you have to be behind the counter doing something all day. So, you know, I'll work, I love splitting up my work day. You know, I'll do like 4 hours, and then I'll take, you know, lunch, and then work a couple hours, hang out with my fiance, and then she goes to sleep, and then I'll do some night owl work and put in another 2 to 4 hours, depending. I don't know what that adds up to, but my work schedule is kind of all over the place, and that's how I like working. To some it might seem chaotic, but it works for me, you know.
I hear you, and for what it's worth, you know, in addition to teaching at Berkeley, I have some Berkeley online classes, and which are basically just grading, and, you know, I completely get it. It's like, oh, I got a free 45 minutes, I'll bang a few of these out.
Yeah.
All right, cool. And let's see, which languages do you use?
For software development?
Yeah.
So I'm doing web. I'm focused on web for the last few years. So that's going to be HTML, CSS, JavaScript. And then as far as frameworks is React. Mostly React, I believe, still has the highest job availability. There's other ones such as Angular and Vue. And there's a whole host of other ones. I'm not going to go into the whole rabbit hole of web development, but yeah, that's a deep pit right there.
What's more than two or three? So that's very impressive.
Oh yeah, Yeah, it's always evolving, and especially in the last couple of years with the AI stuff, it's really evolving at a super rapid pace.
Right. So, qualify for these interviews, one of the criteria you have to hit is that you enjoy what you do. So what is it about, freelance web development that you enjoy?
One of my more recent projects, I built, so this company was using paper forms, and the front desk, I don't know what her actual job title, parts management, person was, she wasn't able to read their handwriting. So the guys in the back, they would like say, so it's like, they were receiving like lawnmowers and stuff to fix, like lawn care stuff to fix, and they would create these things called triage forms. And they would send these triage forms to the parts manager girl at the front desk, and she would order the forms. However, she wasn't able to read the actual text that they would write. They would have this chicken scratch that they would write, and it took up all this time. So I built them a form management software system. Where it was all standardized, and then all you had to do was like pull it up on your phone, and you'd be like, "Oh, the engine oil is dirty or not dirty or needs service or whatever." They would click all these different parameters. It would send that to the front desk attendant, and she had no problem reading it after that. So it was really satisfying seeing that. I was like, "Oh wow, something that I created made everyone's job easier, basically." That was a very satisfying moment, and I worked with the manager. I was like, it was very custom made. It was made from scratch, and we worked on it together, and then when it was done, it made everything so much smoother in the business, and everyone was just like, they had like this deep sigh of relief. They were like, oh my god, this is so much better than the way we used to do things before. And that was a very interesting moment for me. I was like, wow, this is really cool, you know.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Cool. So, hey, let's take it back now to 2015. Although, if you feel this story has a logical earlier starting point, we could go back further. But otherwise, put us in your headspace as kind of Berkeley is wrapping up. I'm guessing you're not thinking freelance web developer. Could be wrong. But let's take it, go one step at a time from, there to where you are now, both in terms of what you were doing, but also in terms of where you were at in terms of your career.
To be perfectly frank, I did not have a specific direction at the end. And that's one thing I kind of regret, is that I didn't really know what was going to happen next.
For what it's worth, same here.
Yeah. A lot of college programs, like say, for example, my brother graduated from Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, and he had done multiple internships and he had this trajectory. And I sort of had that model in my head, and it was just like, that was never happening. And I don't have an answer for any new graduate that feels the same way. It's just like, I don't. I really don't.
It's all good, and I will be asking you more about that later. But for now, so you said you graduate, you kind of have no real plan. So what happens then? Like, it's 2015. There you are with your diploma. So now, do you move home? Do you get another job?
Oh, after I graduated, yes.
We're kind of going chronological.
I moved back home to San Diego. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple lukewarm leads as far as jobs, but then there was a place that I worked in high school that was an audiovisual shop, but I was like, I don't want to go back to the place that I worked in high school, I was like, I wanted to move on. I applied to a bunch of places, and I couldn't really figure much out. And after that, I did get an offer. It was a bit of a nepotism hire, to be honest. I had a relative up in San Luis Obispo, Central Coast, California. So I moved back to San Diego after college, from Boston, moved up to San Luis Obispo on the central coast of California, and got hired at a cinema company as a assistant, doing like administrative work. And there was some audio.
Sure.
Audio.
Would you say a cinema company? Do you mean like a place that makes films or a movie theater?
No, they manufactured and they engineered and manufactured cinema equipment.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, so then they had me doing stuff. I was testing equipment. So I would, like, they had they had these devices that would basically, in theaters, they would monitor the light levels and color levels to make sure that the projectors are calibrated. Mm-hmm. They produce these devices, and so I would basically be running these tests all the time. And it was actually there where I started learning web development stuff, sort of on the side.
Okay, yeah, so how did that, as in, did they ask you to do some tasks for which you need to learn it, or did you start thinking that would be a good opportunity?
They started asking me to do, I did some stuff with mobile development, with iOS and Android development,
okay.
And that was pretty fun, but it was the web development stuff that really grabbed me. They had me start working on web development stuff, and then from there, that was where I started getting those, like, basic HTML, CSS, JavaScript skills.
And how, like, when was this? Was this, like, 2017 or?
This was just, like, a year after I graduated, so 2016 until, and I worked for them until 2019. So it was kind of like cutting my teeth during those 4 years where I really started learning app and web application development and website development.
Sure. So you're there through most of 2019 and become, you say, doing more and more web development, just like internally, right, for their own website?
Right. Yeah, for their own tools, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then what happened next? You're not still there, so.
Right. After that would be, that was when COVID happened. And I got laid off during the COVID period.
Oh, yeah.
Worked in the only places that were open that were like that I was qualified for, which was restaurants, for a couple of years actually. And then COVID started, moved back down to San Diego, and then got back into web development stuff and started doing freelancing and contract work.
Oh, so when did you start freelancing? There's like 22?
Correct, yeah.
Gotcha. How did you get those? Because I imagine at this point you've been doing it for years, right? Someone hires you, some of them are even sounds like clients who you work for repeatedly, so there's zero surprise. And if you send a huge resume of all the places you've worked, they're like, okay, yeah, this Daniel Feinstein guy, he's a contractor, cool. But it always struck me as those first job or two or three are going to be the really hard ones to get, right? Where you have no real record to show as a contractor. How did you manage those first ones?
Getting the first ones as a contractor. We're engaged now, but my fiance worked for this company. And it was the one I think I mentioned before. They wanted that form building application.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So she recommended you, and
they thought they asked her. She has no programming experience. They're like, can you make this solution for us? And she's like, no, but I know someone who can.
All right. That's often how it happens. Yeah. And then once you've done that, now you have something under your belt.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Very cool. And sounds like you've just been cruising on that ever since, right?
Yeah, more or less. I am looking for, I would prefer having like a, you know, steady 40-hour-a-week gig. The freelance stuff, yeah, it's because it when it rains, it pours, but, you know, there are droughts. So
sure.
It's not as the income isn't as consistent, but
yeah, no, I get that. My wife, who does software quality assurance, she worked as a contractor for about a year and a half. And, like, the money looked great on paper, but you knew that, like, the moment there was a slow period, you'd be laid off. And, you know, it's like, if other people are get, you know, 4 or 5 weeks of vacation or holidays and you don't, that's like a hidden 10% more than they're paid that you're not.
Right.
So, yeah, no, I get it, but, hey, being a contractor's, your minimum treading water, and, you know, it's, again, great experience to get you a full-time position at some point. So, very cool. Let's move on to the third part of the interview of three. And I'm going to preface this first question with, there is no right or wrong answer. So, these days, call it the second half of 2024 into 2025, what, if anything, is your current relationship with music?
A couple things. I still produce dance tracks just for fun. Mm-hmm. That's one. The other day, well, it definitely does integrate with web development and software development because and game development. Anything that needs a sound effect. So I was in the EPD program, so pretty strong grasp on sound design. Sound design and, you know, music production specifically, like, you know, say you need like a water level song, I can do that very easily, you know. So that's a couple great things that I took away from the major is that I can, if so, say I need, like, the other day I was like, oh, I need like a firework sound. I was like, I could go on some, like, you know, free website and get like a firework sound, but I know how to design that with a synthesizer and make it sound super cool and much more like catered to exactly what I need.
Oh, nice.
Or yeah, like a theme song for a level, making a game. I have been wanting to move more into game stuff lately. That is something that that I see on my horizon that I would like to learn more about. Cool. Or audio for games. That's one thing I regret is not going more into that, is exploring. Because since I could barely walk, I think before I could walk, I was playing video games. So I'm kicking myself. Like, why didn't I go into like video game audio during college? So if there's anyone who listens to this interview, if you love video games and you love audio production and synths, go into audio for video games.
Yeah, I know that is a specialty now, an official specialty within the film scoring major.
Yeah, yeah. I really wish I had pursued that heavier.
Gotcha. But cool. If you're still kind of integrating sound in, that's great.
Yeah, and it's still, like, it's just a good outlet sometimes. Even if I know I'm not going to, like, publish a song, it's just making a cool dance track. I was working on something, like, an hour before we had this conversation. Even if you know you're not going to publish it, it's still, like I said, a good outlet, you know? And then put it in a Dropbox folder, put it on a hard drive, and then, you know, a couple years from now, you'd be like, wow, that track was actually pretty damn cool. I should have published that.
Awesome. Yeah. All right, so next question I have for you is, thinking about your current career as in web development, and of course people come to that from all different backgrounds. In fact, actually, before I go to this question, just to circle back a little bit, you were talking about being at this company that made cinema equipment and they asked you to do some web stuff. Like, how did you learn how to do all this web development?
YouTube. All YouTube, yep. And, I mean, so starting with YouTube to sort of get your foot in the door, and then once you kind of get a little bit of footing on it, because it's like climbing up a very steep cliff. Once you get your footing on the first one, then you can sort of pull yourself up. And then once you get a really good footing and you get your clips in the mountain, then you can read the documentation, and then the documentation will start to make more sense after you get I mean, personally, it's when I need, like, someone to explain the very, very basics. And then it's like, okay, I got the very fundamentals. Then I can go into the written documentation. That's my learning style. I know everyone has their own unique version of that. But,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's how I got into it.
Nope. Great answer. Thank you. So, like, question for you, Des. Yeah, people get into it all different ways. Lots of people, you know, from all different backgrounds do web development. But thinking back to your Berkeley experience, is there anything that you feel your Berkeley experience did particularly well to prepare you for your current career?
That did particularly well.
You know, relative to if you'd gone to University of California.
Yeah, the teachers don't mess around. Most of the teachers expect a lot out of you, and that's good. I'm sorry, my dog is barking right now. Sorry, it's getting in the audio feed. Koji, relax. Relax. Most of the teachers, I only had, I would say, about a quarter of the teachers were kind of checked out-ish, but that's a good ratio. I would say if 3 out of 4 teachers are, like, really into it, I think that was kind of my experience. Like, most of the teachers were really they gave a shit, you know. and the way you knew that was because they would push you and they wouldn't back down if you're like, oh no, I didn't get something done. They'd be like, no, you need to do this. That was definitely a good, like, work ethic push that Berkeley provided.
Gotcha. All right.
Yeah.
Cool. So let's flip that question around now, because Berkeley gives that one degree, that Bachelor's of Music. You went there knowing that, and, you know, you're in a very good spot at the moment. But all that said, is when you look back at your Berkeley education, is there anything where you say, you know, hey, it would have been really useful to have learned this while I was at Berkeley, and they could have taught it to me, and they didn't? Anything missing or incomplete?
This was one of the things that you said that you sent on the LinkedIn.
It is.
It was that LinkedIn one. Yeah. Professional development. And I think I would boil it down to that is make sure that the students have somewhere to go when they graduate, you know? And I know that's a tall task, but it kind of felt like when I was done, it was just like, all right, here you go. Here's your degree. And I didn't have an internship. They didn't require an internship, which obviously in hindsight, I obviously should have. But this is 10 years after the fact. So right. Hindsight's 2020. I absolutely should have done an internship. Got my plane flight. I, you know, moved out of my apartment, got my plane flight back to San Diego. And then it was like, well, now what? So I think they should put more emphasis on maybe some sort of, did they do like a one-to-one professional development elective or something like that these days?
Well, I mean, there's the professional development seminar, which everyone takes.
Right, but it's like a
one-to-one, like a private instruction for professional development. I don't think Berkeley does that.
Right.
But, I mean, there's the Career Center, where you can meet. It's not a course.
Right. Yeah, I didn't take as much advantage of that as I should have. That's my fault, totally.
I mean, fair. Again, I feel like I was in the exact same boat back in the day. All right.
And also yeah, by the last semester, you're kind of exhausted. You know, you're just like you're overloaded with all this information. It takes several years for it all to really bake in. You know, the other day we just opened my fiance is trying to learn some music theory, and we open up and she got a sort of a music theory in 30 days book, and we open up a chapter and it goes modal interchange, and I'm like, ah yes, my old friend. So I don't know where I was going with that, but anyway,
Okay, very intense, and then yeah, there's that post-graduation breather. I get it.
Yeah.
So, all right, cool. So, next question I have for you is, you know, as you say, you graduated really with no idea, and then, if you don't mind me saying it, you ended up sort of falling into web development, right? Like, you're at this job doing something else, and they're like, hey, can you do this? And you did, and you started, and this is credit to you. You know, I don't want you to fall into, like, you didn't put in the effort. You absolutely put in the effort. But, you know, they sent you that direction, you really went for it, and you've been doing very well for yourself since.
Correct. The only connective tissue there was is during the last year during the EPD program is Richard Boulanger, I believe is the pronunciation of his last name. He's one of the EPD teachers who does some of the coding stuff. I did a couple coding classes at the end of the year. So that was the sort of like the tendons right there that got me into like, hey, so before that class with him, so I was terrified of that class. I was like, oh, well, I mean, I don't know. I'll try coding. I'll probably suck at it. And then I did that class. And then I was actually doing better than most other kids in the class. And I was like, oh, wait, no, I actually like coding actually comes pretty naturally to me. And then that was sort of the connection to the next job. And that wove it into where I am right now.
Oh, that's great. That's great to know. So I guess my next question for you is, either for maybe other Berkeley grads, recent grads, who, you know, aren't quite sure what they're going to do now, or even Berkeley students who are wondering, so what happens after graduation anyway? What do I do? Leader of both those groups, what advice do you have?
Wait, are you saying to people who are going to graduate soon, or like people who are just coming in?
Oh, let's say graduate soon, or you know.
Soon. Graduating soon. Do you have an internship? find some kind of job. You know, get some sort of like professional experience, even if it's internship. Like internship still counts as a like. I think if you're, I'm not a hiring manager, but it's going to put you on a pedestal above others. For someone who's like a junior or just starting a senior year, definitely get an internship. Oh. Doing something.
Sure. That's great advice.
It's better to get an internship and not get paid. Well, I mean, it depends on your finances and all that, but get an internship doing something in the field that you want to move into by the time you're done with your senior year, rather than working at Dunkin' Donuts across from Mass Avenue.
Yep. Understood. And now let's zoom in here. So I mentioned, I feel like you're around my 255th interview. No one's listening to all 255. But anyone who's made it this far is probably, you're going to be there under web developers. I feel like, yeah, maybe you're my 12th web developer. So someone who isn't doing it yet, but is maybe thinking of web development as a career, and, like, there's a lot to recommend it. You know, the money's decent. You don't have to pay for another degree, right? You said you did your learning on YouTube. And, you know, you even talked about, you know, being able to make your own hours, etc. So for someone who's kind of thinking they may want your career to go along the lines of what you're doing, what specific advice do you have for them?
Software hiring has gotten pretty tough in the last few years, and I'll be totally straight up. It peaked in 2022, and then it's dropped off pretty drastically, actually, in the last couple of years. What I would recommend for someone who likes music software development, put yourself in the corner of web development. Just consider the whole field of software development. There are lots of companies, especially if you're like still in Berkeley, I would connect to company like, so if you like music and software, if those are your two like things that interest you, there are plenty of companies such as Native Instruments, the guys who make FabFilter. Like, look up any of those, and anyone who's listening to this who knows what I'm talking about right now, those companies that make your plugins that you put into Pro Tools or Ableton or Logic, look up those companies and reach out to those companies and say, hey, do you guys have any internships? Well, first of all, learn audio languages such as C++. Learn the tools that are used to create plugins or user interfaces for plugins or the audio, the DSP processing for plugins. And then so learn that stuff, number one. And then number two, reach out to the companies who are hiring people who have that sort of a need for people who understand how that stuff works. So, like, really, you know, if you want to build a compressor with C++, and then create a virtual instrument, create a virtual synth that can load into Ableton. The EPD department goes, talk to EPD professors about this stuff. If you're interested in that, I don't know name, but I know Richard, if he's still working there, Richard Boulanger. Is definitely a good resource for that if he hasn't retired yet.
Gotcha.
Yeah, sorry to talk your ear off.
No, it's good. It's good. By the way, sorry, I can't confirm if you're still there, at least in real time.
But Berkeley has about
1,000 faculty. So.
Talk to any EPD professor, and they'll guide you in the right direction. If someone is... loves software coding or wants to get into coding, thinks it's cool, and loves like programming synthesizers or doing music production, that whole umbrella, go to the EPD department or the MP&E department, and there's got to be someone there that can put you in the right direction.
Gotcha. Very cool. All right. Well, I just have one last question for you, Daniel, which is, you have the mic. Is there anything we missed or anything else you'd like to say?
Let me take one quick look at my notes. I haven't even looked at my notes this whole time. I wrote up down all this stuff. Network. Even if you're an awkward little guy like me, just suck up your pride and network. Just talk to people. You have nothing to lose. If you feel awkward, walk away. Go find someone else. Go to parties. Talk to people. You have nothing to lose. Stay sober while you're networking with people.
that's great advice. Two great pieces to go together.
Yeah.
All right. I really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you so much for making the time.
Kevin, you are a great interviewer. I appreciate it.
Thanks very much. And great. So best of luck to you in 2025. I hope you land exactly the position you want.
Back at you, friend. And hit me up whenever you want.
Sounds great. Take care now.
All right. Take it easy. Bye.